So the object of helping them to behave properly is to make God happy so they can be happy, so the parents can be happy, the teacher can be happy, and it's much more pleasant to live this way. We don't have to be very deep or very spiritual. Now, I'm talking about young children, right? Okay? So we have to have a goal, a kind of a unit, see? You can fellowship, and then as you go along, it has to be flexible, right? Because sometimes they will bring up something, and that may be an open door. And that may be the very point you just drop what you were planning, just like in going to a home meeting. It's exactly the same, right? So you have to be prepared. You have to have a little plan and a definite goal, a kind of goal. What are you working on at any given time? Okay? I think this is very, very important. The songs are very important because a lot of truth, a lot of impression, plus a lot of enjoyment. Songs make children happy. If you can get them going on this, God made the ocean and so on and so forth, and they can all be happy, and you can have the boys do it, and then you have the girls do it, and then you have them all do it, and you just, just get them happy. This opens them up. Songs are very good to make them happy. But while they're singing the songs, something gets deposited. There's some truth in the songs. Even in the simple songs, God made. Just the first two words, God made. You see? And then he made it due to his great love. This is marvelous. You see? You're depositing this seed into these hearts. Okay? So you have to kind of take a long view with children. This is like farming work, right? First you have to plow the ground, soften it up, you see? And then you have to prepare it and put some seeds in it, and then you have to water it, and then it takes a season, you see, and how long that season would be. Some of the things that we deposit in them when they're 5 years old, they may not sprout until they're 10 years old. But we put something in there. We put something in. Don't expect you plant something 1 week and you harvest it the next week with children. No, no. The real thing is just to be steady, to deposit the seeds, plant the seeds, work on the ground, get them happy, get them open, water it, and then in time there will be a harvest. In time there will be a harvest. Again, I would say our goal is that all of the children would be definitely saved and baptized before junior high. That is our clear and definite goal. And while we're working on this, we're also working on their behavior, right? So that they could be proper boys and girls. And then we're also helping them with their education. These things, I think, are clear. But my concern now is on the first thing, and that is putting into them the knowledge of God and the knowledge of God's salvation. I think this has to be somewhat primary. You have to be very exercised about this. And then as we're doing that, we also work on their behavior. Right? So I'd just like to give you this little bit of introduction. I also would like to encourage you, if you have never seen this little book, Hymns Junior, there are two sizes down in the bookstore. It has a lot of hymns that cover the whole the whole scope, from the real little children until almost, I would say, junior high children. Some of these songs would be quite good. And it covers all these topics. Let me just tell you, the triune God is the first section, then God's creation, then a section on God as the Father, then a section on Christ, then a section on the Spirit, then a section on the Christian life, then a section on the Word of God, and a section on the Church. And in the section here on God's creation of man, we have these little choruses like, and this is "To Jesus Loves Me." "I'm a vessel, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. God's the potter, I'm the clay, he made me this special way." That's very good. Very, very good. "Yes, I'm a vessel, yes, I'm a vessel, yes, I'm a vessel, the Bible tells me so." Very good. The Jesus Loves Me is used for a lot of songs in this little book. It's very good because it's simple. If there's any song that's most popular among children, you know, in over all the years, that's probably the first song I learned, right? Growing up in Christianity, even. But the music is the reason is very good music, and it's simple, and yet it's got some truth. But then we can uplift the truth of it, right? I'm a vessel, this I know. It's very good. God's the potter, I'm the clay. He made me this special way. This is a very crucial thing. We need all to impress all the children that they are special. In God's creation, they are special. Man is made in a special way. Johnny, you're made in a special way. In the whole universe, so many stars, right? And so many plants and so many animals, but you are special. You're not the same as anything else in this universe. You're special. This thought of telling them that they're special is a very good way concerning creation. So that's a very good, there are a lot of very good ones. I just kind of thumbed through. And then on Christ, his name, this one is familiar to us, but it's very good for children. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It's very good. You put this into them, you see. Of course, there's a verse to it. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its words. But even if you just use that chorus with little children, see, they all have to love Jesus. They're not saved yet. They're not regenerated yet. But they have to love him because he loved them. You put this thought into them. Jesus is the one that we all have to love, you see. This is a preliminary fact for the gospel, right? A prerequisite, almost, you see. We put this thought in them, that they have to love Jesus. It's good, it's right, it's proper to love Jesus because Jesus loved us. You see, I'm just doing this a little at random. Then there's another one, and I like this one very much. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. Even if you just give them the first verse of this, Christ has a full redemption made, right? You all know this. What a wonderful Savior. We are redeemed, the price is paid. What a wonderful Savior. These kind of songs about the Lord being the Savior, about him dying for us, about him paying the price for us, shedding his blood for us, redeeming us. You don't have to explain redeem unless they ask. You just tell them, we're redeemed. Then if they say, oh, what is redeemed? That simply means we're bought, right? We're bought, right? To be redeemed is to be bought. He paid the price and he bought us. You see, that's all. Be very, very simple. The best way with children is, especially when they ask questions, the simplest answer that satisfies them is the best answer. Don't tell them everything you know about redemption. Well, okay, now, you see, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, and when man fell, he came under the curse, and the thorns are the sign of the curse, and on the cross, the Lord Jesus wore the crown of thorns, and so this... No, don't do that. Don't tell them. The object with children is don't tell them everything you know. Tell them the simplest answer that satisfies them. They'll come back. They'll come back. We do have to avoid, you know, and I don't want to overemphasize this point, but we do have to avoid premature knowledge. You only tell them what they need to know or what they want to know, the simplest answer that will satisfy them at any given point. That's the best answer. So this kind of song on Christ being the Savior, and there are a lot of very good gospel hymns, that are very, very good. And there are a number in here concerning the Lord as the Savior and the Lord as the dearness of the Lord and how Jesus is the sinner's friend and how he's the light of the world. And there are quite a number here, okay? This next section on choosing Christ, Christian life, choosing Christ. I like this. And here's a very simple song that I also learned as a kid. One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. Inside and outside, on which side are you? One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside, on which side are you? In other words, there's a door they have to pass through, you see. Then you may use something about the Lord being the door, that would lead us into his salvation, something. It depends how old they are as to how you would explain it. With little children, kindergarten, you just sing this. You plant this seed. They have to choose. There's an inside and there's an outside. Everybody wants to be inside, right? We want to be in, right? All kids want to be in the in group, right? They don't want to be in the out group, right? Well, we can get there first. You understand what I'm saying? No, don't wait till they're teenagers. Now we establish what is the in group and what is the out group, right? The believing ones are in, right? We've come in. We've chosen Christ, right? So this matter that they have to choose Christ. See, then this has six verses. The next verse is, there are two ways, the life way and the other way. We don't have to define too much. This is very good. Then there are two trees to eat, right? So by then you've got into Genesis 2 or 3, you see, to tell them about a little bit about two trees if you're in Genesis. Then there are two paths. This is very good. Then there are two gates. There's the life gate. Enter the life gate. Open the life gate that all may go in. That's in another gospel song, but here it is in a very simple way. And then choices. Choices. Let's see if I can do this. Choices in everything. We make them every day. Would you, the Lord, choose to take his way? Choices, they're up to you, for these are will we use. Choices. Choices, choices, so everyone must choose. Yeah, I never sang that before, but this is quite good, you see. To choose the Lord, to choose his way. We have to use our will to choose. This is very proper. But you don't have to explain too much. Just get them to sing these songs, and then talk to them a little bit about it. Okay? And then, of course, this one, of course, is excellent. Christ the Savior is just the one you need. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. Boys and girls all need him. Then, let's see. I like this. In this section on Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, there's a second verse. I like this. Jesus, take this heart of mine, make it pure and wholly thine. Thou hast bled and died for me. I will henceforth live for thee. Yes, Jesus. Very good. You see? So simple, yet with something really very good that you deposit. You just sing them over and over again. Don't try to be original every week. You know, ask them, what would they like to sing? They'll always come back to certain ones. If they sing the same one every week for 6 months, that's wonderful. Right? It really is. Because then they'll never forget them. It's not like us, you see. Kids, you know, when they get something they like, they'll just, it's like a favorite doll. They'll play with it every day, right? A favorite song, you see. So after you've taught them three or four songs, then you give them a choice, you see. Or I would always, if I'm teaching a song, I would always do it several weeks in a row. Repeat it again, again, and again, you see. And then get them to, when they like it, then you can give them a little choice after they've known a few. Then, of course, we have on the Word of God section here. About knowing from a child the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. I don't know this one, and I didn't have time to try, but it's to the music. Let's see. Let's see if we can do this. The music is in the book. It's to a gospel song, 1059. Let's see what the music is. Oh, yeah. And that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures. This is wonderful, you see, so simple, with a good melody, easy melody. Tell you the truth, I like these old melodies, and actually Brother Lee likes these old hymn melodies. I know we tried, especially in the 60s and 70s, to get, more modern tunes, and some wrote some songs, and I remember, who was there in March of 88 in Irving when Brother Lee had that two-week training? Yeah, you were there. And a brother had some original ones that he wrote, and he sang one or two, and Brother Lee just... You see, we shouldn't try to match the style of the world in its music. No, we shouldn't. Actually, that gives a wrong impression. It's better. This kind of tune, da 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 da, that's very, you see. It's from the music is from another generation, but that's good, see. That's better. All this syncopated rhythm and all this kind of stuff, you see. No, the school will do enough, the world will do enough to corrupt them. Very pleasing, sweet melodies. Actually, did I mention to you about the brother in Africa, in Ghana, that teaches by song? All of those songs are very melodious in that African language in the interior of Ghana. All those songs, very melodious. It quite surprised me, tell you the truth. Very, very melodious, just like these old hymns, old hymn tunes, you see, from 100 years ago. A lot of marvelous gospel hymns were written in the last century. A lot of these hymns. And in an early part, actually as late as the 40s, I knew a man who wrote choruses and hymns. Very melodious, very much in that style. And a lot of them, I mean, are still with me. So... Okay, so I like to just impress you, and you have to be selective according to the age and so on. There are some songs in here that are somewhat higher and maybe a little premature for younger children, but just the ones I referred to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and that's not all. I mean, there are many, many very good ones here. So, of course, this is... one that we also learn. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Listen, to put into them the thought that Jesus loves them. That's marvelous. Then someday when the Spirit comes to convict them, right, to draw them, they know the Lord loves them. God's not up there with a big stick waiting to hit them over the head. No. He's a loving Father with a loving Jesus waiting to receive them and embrace them. This is wonderful, you see. So I like to encourage you about this. If you don't have a copy, anyway, they're in the bookstore. But there, a lot of work has been done and a lot of good hymns. Then the other thing is I also would like, if you have choruses that you're using, please write them down and give them to us. Let's make a collection, you see. This song matter is never over, right? In that training, Brother Lee, this whole hymn book needs a job, right? When this first came out, let's see, the copyright date here is 1966. We had a certain purpose in putting so many hymns in here, but today, so many hymns in here, we don't need them anymore, right? We need to... And yet we need more on other points that have come out concerning the truth. So this is not a small thing. In history, whenever there was a real move of God, there were always hymns to match it, right? You all know, a mighty fortress is our God. Martin Luther, from the Reformation. And Luther wrote other hymns, right? And we know, of course, John Wesley had his brother Charles, a great hymn writer. The German Pietist movement, which was in the southern Germany, my family comes from that background. They reacted to the deadness of the Lutheran Church, and they began to use hymns like by Tiestegen and by Spener and some more subjective kind of hymns that matched a move of the Lord at that time in that generation in the 1700s also. So. And the brethren wrote a lot of hymns. Most of the hymns on the Lord's, in the praise of the Lord's section on the Lord's death and so on, many came from the brethren background. They were experts at hymns for worshiping the Lord, for his suffering, for his death, and also gospel hymns. And then in the last century, beginning of this century, a lot of gospel, good gospel hymns came out. And they match something of that the Lord is doing, right? So we also need. We also need. So I hope we could collect and write down the hymns, and let's collect them and see what we can do to broaden. In some areas, we don't have a good song to illustrate a certain point. Then work on it. Try to do something. If we all try, something will come out, right? And then we can collect them and see what would come out. So on the one hand, it's very good that we have. There's a very good selection here. But you may find some points that you couldn't find a good hymn, a good chorus, a good song for the children. Then try to write one. And if you can write it to Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, to that music, that's excellent. Because they all know that. Then it's simple. You don't have to teach them new music. It's very good to try to write some choruses to known hymns, to known music. Unless you're really gifted and can pick up a very melodious style of writing. We had in the early years in New York a lot of, we had a few gifted saints who wrote a lot of music and songs, but eventually they didn't catch. They just didn't catch, right? A few did, but some didn't. So, okay, so I'd like to talk a little about the songs today. Secondly, I'd like to talk about the verses. You must have every time at least one verse you give them. You must leave with them and get them to repeat it. Don't make it long and complicated. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Even a three-year-old can learn this. A three-year-old child can learn such a verse. Even if it's too much, you can use the first part of John 3:6. For God so loved the world. With little children, that's good. For God so loved the world. Then if they're not 3 years old, they're 5 years old. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You see? Then when they're 7 years old, you add the next part. Or whatever. You see what I mean? You match according to the age. Don't dish out too much too soon. But all children can memorize simple Bible verses. So you must find some good Bible verses, basic Bible verses regarding creation, regarding God, regarding the Lord Jesus, regarding his being the Savior. You must have some Bible verses. Then you also, children, obey your parents. Right? This is a very good one. Even the three-year-olds can learn. Children, obey your parents. You can find verses for the behavior. We say character, but actually for the behavior, for the training of their behavior, which shapes their character. You can find verses, you see. Love one another, right? When they're fighting. Okay, now I have a Bible verse for you. Love one another. You see? These kind of things. You can find verses also for these character points, right? But every time you meet with them, you must give them a nice song and a good verse. You see? Then I believe this will build up. Don't think that, oh, well, one phrase of a verse. Eventually, if you do this again, 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 after a while, they have quite a bit. Quite a bit has been planted into them. Okay? And then I would say, since I was asked this question, I would say, on the one hand, yes, we do want to work on this matter of their to be proper in their character, in their behavior. We want to help them to be good students. But eventually, our real goal is to plant the seeds, the gospel seeds, into them so that they could all know God, know the Bible, and love the Lord. This paves the way for them to be saved someday. Just be patient. They may not all get saved the first week. In fact, if they do, I would wonder a little bit, unless it's something really sovereign of the Lord. But with little children, be a little patient. Just pave the way week by week, right, by planting the things. So I would just say this much, because I'm a little hesitant to tell you too many points, because I'd still like to keep the whole thing quite flexible. We're still learning how to do this. You just try something. and then we can fellowship more and we can all learn something. But I do feel it's very, very important to do something related to either God as the creator, making man for himself, and the Lord's salvation. These two things we have to put into them. Okay. So the sisters who did the thing about the heart, it was very, very impressive to have a soft heart. And here are the, I asked them to bring these back. This is the hard ground, right? The hard packed ground. And they put seeds on the top of it. I don't know if you can see in this jar. And all the seeds are there and nothing happened to them, right? Because they couldn't get into the ground, you see. So this is very good. This is the hard ground. Not one of the seeds sprouted, right? So this is a good illustration. If our heart is hard, nothing will sprout. What sprouted there was a little weed. Something was in the soil. There's a little thing sprouted, but none of the seeds we planted sprouted. Something else sprouted. We need to tell them that. If your heart is hard, something else will sprout. Not the right thing, right? Will sprout. So this was quite good. And then we have the stony ground. And I don't know if you can see this, but here the seeds did sprout. But then they didn't grow. See, they sprouted. Actually, then they got mildewed. And they sprouted, but they didn't. These were all planted at the same time, right? All these four jars were planted. So they came up a little bit, and then they they're just kind of there. There's a little green, but no plant. Okay? So that was the stony ground. And then here is the thorny ground. And in the middle of this one, something sprouted, but it dried up. I can't hold, if I hold it upside down, it'll fall out. But there's something came up in the middle of all these thorns, but then it dried up. That's very good, right? It got choked. It got choked by all the thorns. They did a good job on this. And then here's the good ground. Look at this. At the same time, these seeds were planted, and they got this wonderful growth out of them all at the same time. All started at the same time. This is a wonderful illustration, you see. How long did it take for them to sprout above the ground? A week? They're very quick, right, these kind of beans? 1 week and a half. See? So you can do this 1 week, plant them all, and then 2 weeks later you have something to show them. It's very, very good. This kind of illustration. I asked them to bring this back to illustrate how we need to use some imagination in making the things quite practical and so we can really demonstrate whatever point we're on. The charts were excellent. This kind of demonstration is excellent. You know, one demonstration I could never forget, and that was as a child, they had these, somebody who's a chemist would know how to do this. There were three glasses of water there, right? And in the first one, they were all clear. In the first one, then they poured some black ink to show how that we got damaged by the fall of man. In the second one, they put something to make it red, like the blood of Christ, right? Shed on the cross. And then when they poured the red one into the black one, it made it white. I could remember that vividly. I was a little kid. I don't know how to do it because I haven't thought of it until just now. Just when I'm speaking to you, this came back to me. I remember this very vivid. We're so black and sinful, but when we take Jesus' blood, and he poured from one to the other, and the whole thing became white. Man, I was impressed. I thought, yeah, that's what I need. Because I was a naughty boy, right? So my point is, you see, just a simple thing like that, you see. We need to find somebody who knows chemistry to find out what the chemicals are, you see. That's quite a good illustration, right? Something black turning white. I don't know how they did it, but anyway, they did. By adding something red. It really, that's the vivid impression I have. And I saw that a few times in the very early years when I was growing up. That made quite a good impression on me, right? About how black my heart was and how the Lord's cleansing blood could make it white. And then they used the verse about our sins being made whiter than snow, right? Or something that being made whiter than snow. So things like this, I hope you could really try to come up with some good ideas, and then we could share them also with one another. So then we can benefit from one another's sanctified imagination. I like this word. You need sanctified imagination to work with children. So, okay. Then finally, what I like to do in the time that we have left is to find out from you. Okay, now, I already took care of some because of the language problem. Okay, some found it not so easy to have, they couldn't find any Chinese-speaking children. So, anyway, they're still going to look for some. You haven't found any yet, huh? They're going to look for some that have some Chinese-speaking. Most of the children of Chinese-speaking homes in this country, they grow up, they don't want to speak Chinese, right? So it's a little hard for them. But for the rest of you, you've all done something by now, I hope. Anyone who hasn't done it, who has not had a children's meeting, aside from the ones that I talked to the other day, so everyone's had a home children's meeting, right? Okay. Now, those of you who didn't give us a report last week, let me check with you. What about your experience? Any problems? Anything? Because a number of questions already have been asked me, but I'd like to hear from you. If you have something concerning that you had some difficulty or not so clear about, let's use some time to fellowship about it. Anyone have anything to tell us?
We had a somewhat unique experience. Okay. In that we went to visit someone who had been labored on, but they had been labored on recently. And when we got to the door, the wife was there, and she had a lot of kids in her home, and she was too busy. She didn't want to let us in to fellowship. But then we asked if we could sing to the children and spend some time with the children, and she said okay. We got in, and she was making lunch for them. There's about four of them. She was making lunch for them in the kitchen while we were helping the kids with songs and examples and things like that. So it was really a good way into that household.
Right.
For the song, we use the David, you know, only a boy named David. Mm-hmm. And then for the, how can I say it, for the Bible verse, we use Genesis 1:26, God made man in his own image after his likeness. And then we use how God put the animals before Adam, and then Adam named them. And then we all pretended we were some kind of animal. We had to guess what we were. Mm-hmm. And they got a big charge out of that. It's fun too for us too.
Right. Good.
But we didn't get into character.
Yeah, you don't have to do everything every time. So what was your point? What was your point? What was the point you wanted to leave with them when you were all done? Did you have one? I know you got caught. Not caught, but it just happened, right? You didn't plan it. So this is my point. You have to be prepared. You have to have something. You all should have something in your back pocket, right? When the need is there. See? There's nothing wrong. Only a boy called David, right? And then God creating man in his own image. Then where did you go from there? Was there a point? Did you reach some point?
I don't think it was really clear.
Not clear. Okay. It's okay. But now next time you have to, okay, we're created in God's image. Why? Because someday God will come to live in you. We're created in God's image so that we can match God. Or something. You have to have a point that deposits something in them. You see? On the one hand, we do have to be interesting and tell them the stories and so on. But then always we have to try to find a point, right? Anyone else? Yeah, Jean.
We have four children in a home meeting. Mm-hmm. And the boys are grade 4 and 5, mm-hmm. their brothers, and then two little girls. Is that kindergarten?
Kindergarten.
And first grade. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's kind of hard to tell one story that would fit both. Mm-hmm. So in this case, would it be better to separate them or to just find a way to say it, tell a story or a verse that would be not too boring to the older boys but reachable enough for the little ones? Mm-hmm. Or should we, when it comes to story or something, should we just separate the big boys and the little girls?
Yeah, if there's a gap like this, and also a gap between boys and girls, the older ones are boys, the little ones are girls, it's not bad to separate them, do something different. The brother could take the boys. You have a brother on your team, right? And the sisters could take the girls and do something different with them to meet that need. When the gap is too big. Of course, this depends on the skill that you develop. I already told you, did I? When I was in elementary school, we went to meetings that had all the way from kindergarten up to eighth grade. See, elementary school in my day, a few years ago, was from kindergarten to the eighth grade. No junior high, and then we went right to high school. So all the elementary kids were in one meeting. And there were brothers and sisters who could hold 100 kids' attention for an hour with songs and stories covering this whole... That's skill. That's a developed skill. You need to develop the skill. But in the meantime, while you're developing the skill, then to separate them is very practical and give them a little more personal attention. Very hard to talk to. How old are the boys?
Four and five.
Oh, so they're 9 or 10, huh? 9 or 10, and the little girls are preschool, huh? Or kindergarten. See, that's a little gap there. So, to me, it's better if it's practical. Otherwise, you just find a way to be interesting. I tell you the truth. I would then, okay, if it's not feasible to separate them, I would talk to the older kids. See, I talk to the older kids. I'll tell you what my theory is. I have a theory about this. And that is, it's more urgent with the older kids. Before they go to junior high, we got to get them saved. Right? So, don't misunderstand my word. But my priority is 6th grade, 5th grade, 4th grade, 3rd grade. You know, if we have to make a choice. Of course, we like to do everything. But I would pay my more attention to the ones that we can still rescue before they get damaged in junior high. Right? You have to realize that today the target of all the drug dealing and so on is junior high and below. When they get to junior high, they're going to be exposed to all kinds of things. So we have to get them saved before junior high. So in my view, this would be the priority. And if you do something interesting, the little kids can be satisfied much easier than older kids. If you do something for the little kids, older kids will be bored. You do something for the older kids, even the little ones will be happy. Okay, I think that's good enough. I think you get the point. But also, we've done this. I found out by aiming at the older ones, just in a good, positive atmosphere, younger ones are happy. They may not understand everything. It may not be aimed to them, but you just give them a little attention along the way, and they'll also be happy. So that's what I would do. If it's not feasible to separate them, try to do something with the older ones because it's more urgent. If possible, when you have a big gap like that, when you have a gap of several years. Okay? Any other problems or questions coming? Yeah.
Before we began our children's meetings, we went out into the neighbor, Peter and Julie's neighborhood, and took a few blocks just to knock on doors and introduce our children's meeting. We also passed out some little flyers to go with it. Well, we didn't get much response, and so we decided we're going to start our meetings anyway. And some saints from a nearby neighborhood said they would like their children to be involved in our children's meeting. So we pick them up and we bring them over to the children's meeting, and also the little boy from next door joins us. So that's what we've been doing for the past few weeks, but now this the sisters whose daughters these are wants to begin her own children's meeting in their neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So now we realize we're going to have to go out again, and we're going to have to get some children for our children's meeting. But the thing is that we've already been out in the neighborhood and already introduced the children's meeting without much response. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really not sure exactly what to do now.
Okay, so what you need is warm doors. And those are the friends of the children who you have. If each one can bring one friend home after school, have the mother say, how many children, church kids are there? I mean, in the in the family?
Three
children. Okay. If each of those can bring one other, see, then the mother may have to call. Let each of them say who they like to invite. The mother may call and invite the child over after school. See, on a certain afternoon, or even arrange to get the child and so on. So, actually, the best way is through the children. Through the children to gain the children. This is the whole point. And then if we start with the younger children, then by the time they're in junior high and high school, through our junior highs and high schools, we'll be contacting all kinds. We don't have to go out and cold canvas, knock on cold doors. So I really feel you have to try this way. You have to try through the children. Let each one of them has each one has at least one friend at school, right? And this is what happened with the sisters doing something in Long Beach. Each of their daughters brought a friend. Eventually, today they have a waiting list. Because they have quite a program involving some other things. And it involves a lot of preparation. They feel they can only handle a certain number. So through this way, networking, right, through the friends, a lot of kids are waiting, little girls are waiting for the chance to come to this meeting once there's an opening. Believe me, after a while you build something.
Where they live.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this is our goal, meeting
right.
The parents.
Right.
So I believe this.
Little girls are waiting for the chance to come to this meeting once there's an opening. Believe me, after a while you build something up. So again, the best way is relationships. All the children have a friend. Let them invite the friend over. And if the mother has to call that mother to, you know, just assure that it's okay and everything or whatever is needed, it all depends. A lot of the kids are quite free and they can go anywhere after school, right? Some are more restricted, so it all depends. Actually, the more restricted ones are the ones you should go after. but we want them all, right? Jesus loves all the children of the world, right? But still, okay, I think this may be a way, Rachel, to try. If you're not known in the neighborhood, it's hard for people to give their children to you. If the sister would go to her neighbors, where she knows there are children, and invite them, that would be better. So, on the one hand, I'm very happy that you would work with some of the saints, the local saints in the church, but you also have to help them just a little bit. I think by now you understand you can't just go to the local saints and hit them over the head with something, but still you can encourage them to do this. You can't go to their neighbors. They don't know you. You know, I mean, you can go, but it's cold doors. But if they go and target the ones with children, if somebody's lived in a house for a while, eventually you know where the kids are. I know where the kids are in my neighborhood, right? Just by coming and going. I know which houses have kids and which don't. Then you just go to those. So either the sister has to do it or through the children, I would say also. That is actually the best way. And if you start when they're young, listen, it's very hard to take one of our high school or junior high, say a junior high, who's not much interested in things, right? They just kind of gone along, been brought up in the church life, but they're not quite sure they want their friends to know that they're not the same, right? So to get them to invite their friends over is not so easy. But to get elementary kids to invite their friends over, they don't have this kind of sense of shame about being a Christian yet, right? That comes later. It does. I know what I'm talking about. When I was young, I went and got all the neighborhood kids into a Bible class that my mother had every week. But when I got a little older, I wanted to be cool, right? I didn't quite want them to know I wasn't the same as they are. So I wouldn't do it. My mother tried to push me to do it. I wouldn't do it. So you have to start off when they're young. And if they get this habit, see, if they build up this habit, then it'll be easier later for them to bring in their friends. So this is a very good point, I think. Anything else? I still haven't heard from some of you. Is it all wonderful? No problems?
We can tell you about ours.
Okay.
We found so many of the things that you talked about earlier and you're talking about today to be true.
Mm-hmm.
We targeted an apartment complex. And I guess it's lower middle class to just middle class. And firstly, we approached them about a Bible study. And as we approached the parents, we found that the children were pretty excited about getting started. So several weeks later, when we gave the assignment, we went to the children. And the first week, we had thought maybe five would come. But it turned out that seven came. And only two of the five and five would come came. And the children were really excited. As you said, they really liked to invite their friends. So the first time they... You know, they said, you want me to go and get some more children for you? And even the second time, you want me to get some more children for you? And I brought my friends, you know, about three of them brought friends with them. So it's very good. And we started out focusing on character. We have a song, Pacto. So, we found that the children produce the warm doors, and their parents are now singing Pacto. Some parents have said, well, I'm practicing Pacto, and what are you going to cover next week? So we had a plan of about 4 to 5 weeks that we'd go over each one, P-A-C-T-O, punctuality, accountability, coordination, tidiness, and obedience. And we began with obedience. And at the end of the story, we asked them to take their Pacto flag and color the letter that correspond to the story we gave them. And they did. And if they got it correct, we gave them a star, that kind of thing. And so this last time, we had 11 children. And we found that it's harder to deal with 11 children. They seemed to be all wired up at first. And so we felt we need to work more on helping the children to enter in earlier rather than being so... excited. But they called out songs. They wanted to sing Pacto again and that kind of thing. And the children like action songs, as you said. And for a song that we didn't have action to, they made up action. So they were really creative and spontaneous. Now we want to, and the parents like the idea of the children being trained in their character. So we want to use the children to get into the homes, and we have had some good responses with the family. One woman that I talked with, couple, she said, I said, well, how do we get to your husband? Because we wanted to meet with her. She says, well, my husband and I, and she said, you can get to my husband through the children. And I was just really amazed because I didn't look for that. And we've met the families, we've met the husband and the wife, and they're open to us. You know, before when you're in the gospel, when you see one of your contacts, sometimes they run from you. These people are not running from us. They're waving at us when they see us. One parent said, you know, the kids are talking about the meeting, and as you said, they're not embarrassed.
Yeah.
They like to gather their friends and come together.
Right.
So it's, a lot of them are naughty and all of that, but thank the Lord for the children.
Now, here's a point, and that is when the kids are overly wired up, you know, they're all excited, then what you sing makes a difference. If at that point you sing, oh, how I love Jesus, oh, you can calm them down. You can calm them down. When you sing what song makes a difference. Even then, you don't worry about the meaning of the song. You worry about the mood of the song. See? By songs, you can get them all flying on the ceiling, or you can get them all calmed down. Depends on what songs you would choose. Right? So when they're passive and indifferent, you stir them up. Right? And when they're all wired up, and then you just calm them down. With the songs, with the mood of the song, you see? So that's one thing. The second thing I want to mention very briefly, and that is, what about the behavior problems? I already heard that there are some behavior problems. And in general, I would say this. The less confrontational you are with behavior problems, the better. If you can deal with them indirectly, suppose you have, I already heard, right, a naughty boy, always disrupting, making fun, this, that, right? And then the others get distracted. Okay, then you have to find a way to pay this child a little attention. If you just try to say, shut up, Johnny, that won't work, you see. It won't work. So if by being interesting and being living and being exercised, he's still naughty, then you have to find a way. I found out recently from my wife, who's been going to a neighborhood children's meeting, that there was a naughty boy there. And the first week, he just made everything miserable. So the second week, they put him in charge of something. He had to hold the sign, or, you know, or they made him do something. They put him responsible for something. Right away, he's important. Then he behaved. You see, this is a little secret. This is how the teachers managed me when I was a naughty boy. The teachers that managed me were the ones who gave me something to do and gave me a little particular attention. Mostly naughtiness is a kind of looking for attention, right? But if you try to deal directly with it, right, if they say something naughty and you react or you respond even to deal with them, it won't work. It doesn't work so well. Now, that doesn't mean that at a certain point, if there's just no other way, you don't, you know, take a child out of the room and give them a nice talking to. You know, I mean nice. I mean that literally, and a pleasant talking to, but tell them that that behavior is just not. But that should be the really last resort. Really the last resort. If you can find a way around. I found out even in raising my own children that the less I confront them at the moment something happens, the better it is. Either let them cool off a little, or when my children were younger, I found out that when they got angry or upset, if I could make them laugh, I could break the spell. You know, just say, just ignore what happened and say something to make them laugh. You see, then I could come back. It doesn't mean, I think, well, you all don't know me that well, but I'm not known as being loose with kids, right? I'm known as being strict, but not in that way of with a stick. I don't, not that way. No, no. But I may come back to the thing when the thing has cooled down and point out that this is not acceptable behavior. You can't, you just can't do this. It makes you unhappy. It makes others unhappy. And but at the moment, it's better not to avoid head-on confrontation. Avoid knocking heads or reacting. So this is why you need to read in the life study on Ephesians chapter 6, fathers, provoke not your children to anger. You need to read that section in that life study, in the Ephesians life study by Brother Lee. He points out that when we respond to anger with anger, it doesn't work. Right? So our anger and our reaction has to be crossed out. So no matter what they do, and you believe me, I've been told to my face terrible things by kids. I mean challenging, confronting, rebuking me. If we react, that's it. We've lost them. And one time I had three girls after a meeting chew me out. I mean really give it to me. These were about ninth or tenth grade girls. And I just stood there and listen to them. And when they got all done, then I just said something different to them. I ignored everything they said. I just talked to them about something, and then I walked away. The following week, they came and apologized. If I had reacted, I know that would have been it. That's not easy for me, because I am a person with quick reactions. But this must be a kind of exercise. If we get into ourselves, into our flesh, into our reaction, into our anger, then we've lost it. So we need the Lord's mercy, because it's not easy. So do your best not to confront things head on. Try to deal with things indirectly. Come in the side door or the back door, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? And then eventually, of course, there are always, you'll find one naughty one. But if all the kids are just unmanageable all the time, it may be because we're not interesting. We're boring them. Yeah. you know. I found out, listen, with the same kids, see, we've been at this a long time with children's meeting and everything. The same group of kids, when a certain serving one is there, they're all wonderful. When another serving one is there, they're all terrible. The only difference is the serving one. So don't be condemned, but learn. You make the difference. You make the difference. Your attitude, your way. Tell you the truth, Dennis knows for all the years, I never have behavior problems when I'm with the kids. They always behave. I mean, that incident happened after a meeting. But in the meetings, when I take care of kids, I never have behavior problems. But I've been practicing a long time how to subdue them, how to avoid, how to... It's a skill. It's a skill you have to learn. So I would just say this. Our job, we're not policemen. We're not there to... No, try your best to avoid the confrontation and make everything pleasant. And if you have to deal with somebody, deal with them privately, not in front of the other children. You know, you take them aside where the others don't see. So... Otherwise, you'll get a bad reaction. It's not good to deal with them in front of others. Okay, just these couple of things. Okay, I still hope that you could go on and go on with this and keep working on it. Once you get something going, you'll find, as Carolyn said, that this is a way to a lot of parents and into a lot of homes. Okay, our time is up today. Amen.